The Bracknell Town Podcast. For fans, by fans. Come on the Robin.
Music for Dragons by Apex Predator. A rather apt tune for our Ishman South Central League clash with the Dragons, also known as Basingstoke FC. The club was established in 1896 by a merger of Aldworth United and Basingstoke Albion. They joined the Hampshire League in 1901, but when the league was split into two geographical divisions in 1903, they were placed in the North Division. The Dragons now play at the Winkelbury Sports Complex, Basingstoke, which has a capacity of 2,000, and when at home, they wear royal blue outfits with yellow trim. In the 2003-2004, the club finished 14th in the Premier Division, entering a playoff against Lewis for a place in the new Conference South. Although they lost 4-1, they gained a place in the new league when Hendon decided against promotion. The following season saw Basingstoke make an appearance in the FA Cup first round, a 1-0 defeat at Cambridge United. However, after finishing bottom of the renamed National League South, they were relegated to the Premier Division of the Southern League. The club were placed in the Premier South Division at the end of the 2018 season, and as part of restructuring of the non-league pyramid, they went on to finish third from bottom of the division in 2018-2019, but were relegated to Division 1 South. At the end of the 2021 season, the club were transferred to the South Central Division of the Ishman League. Now, their palm race is quite impressive, including third in the Conference South League in 2015, and their best FA Cup performance was the second round, 1990, 1998 and 2007. They also reached the third round of the FA Trophy in 1999 and 2004. Most appearances for the club was Billy Coombs in the 1980s, and their top goal scorer was Paul Coombs, who found the back of the net 159 times between 1991 and 1999. Their biggest win was 10-1 against Chichester City in the FA Cup first qualifying round in 1976, but their heaviest defeat was 8-0 while playing Aylesbury United in the Southern League Division 1 South in April 1979. The club's record attendance was 5,085 against Wycombe Wanderers in the FA Cup first round in November 1997, and their record league crowd was 2,810 versus Aldershot Town in the Ishman League Premier Division on the 26th of December 1998. Their record transfer fee paid was £4,750 to Gosport Borough for Steve Ingham. Now, when I was on the security team at Woking, in what was then known as the National Blue Square South, I remember witnessing some real humdingers when these two teams clashed, and was impressed at how they played defensively, but at the same time could cross the ball in on the sixpence. I remember Basingstoke always having a devoted, passionate, and if not, noisy following. Now, their motto, Vestigia Nulla Retrosum, means never a step backward. Let's hope the mighty Robins can push them back just a little.
This is your Navy reporter, Gisu, and bringing you all the news and views from Blackpool Town. I say, come on, you Robins.
Hey, very good afternoon to you. It's 3 o'clock. It's Saturday. It is the Isthmian South Central Division, Basingstoke versus Bracknell, and we're at the Winkelbury ground. The team sheet has literally just come out, and our dear friend Steve the Gaffer Witty has the teams from Basingstoke and Bracknell Town.
Well, let's start with the important team here today. The league leaders, Bracknell Town, the away team today. Mike Lee cutting goal, Jack Dean at number two, Ethan Burden number three, Temi Awika at number four, Dan Bayliss number five, Scott Rees number six, Max Herbert and captains at number seven, Michael Atkinson back from injury, Aaron McLeish White at number nine, George Knight at number 10, and Seb Bowerman at number 11. On the bench, we have James Clark, Shamar Moore, Zidane Akers, Caden Genovese, and Anthony Cheshire. For Basingstoke, the home team. We've got Paul Strudley in goal, James Hayworth, number two, Daryl Woolers, Rob Sheridan, Nathan Smart, ex-Bracknell Anton Rogers in the middle of the park, Bradley Wilson, Simon Dunn, Stephen Brown, DeAndre Brown, number 10, and McCoy Palmer, number 11, and then five not very interesting substitutes.
And you're listening to the unofficial Robins podcast. Currently 0-0, yes, not a particularly eventful first half, really. I'm with Steve the Gaffer Witty. What's your thoughts, Steve, so far?
Yeah, in front of a really big crowd here today on a lovely sunny February afternoon. And I think it's been a relatively even half. Maybe Bracknell just shading it. Max Herbert's having a lot of possession in the middle of the park. George Knight alongside him as well is breaking up play quite well. I would say, yeah, Bracknell shaded it, probably the two better chances in the half, but 0-0 is probably a fair reflection, James.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think there was some very good play by Basingstoke, particularly in the midfield. But if anything, probably Bracknell maybe just edged it. But we'll go and see how things develop in the second half, and changing ends maybe slightly different due to where the sun is. But we'll go and see, and hopefully be a bit more exciting in the second half.
There was a call for a penalty with Max Herbert. What's your views on that?
Yes, indeed. There was the call, wasn't there? That's a very good point, Guy. I'll be honest, it's been very, very difficult to actually see at the moment in terms of where the...
You've come to the wrong end to do this, boys.
What a plonker.
Come on, you Robins.
The final score here at the Winkleberry Ground, Basingstoke 0, Bracknell Town 1.
Fantastic performance, man. Fantastic. Well done.
Thank
Brilliant.
You. Yeah, thank you. That's it.
Where did we get two?
Yeah, should have done.
Get in there, Scott Reese. Come and do more things.
Striker Duncan Cully.
Striker Duncan Cully. So how many more games before you're back on that pitch?
I am finally back next weekend.
Fantastic.
I know, it seems like the longest ban ever. I mean, it's been 4 weeks now. Yeah. Because of obviously the game called off. Because of Eunice. Absolutely buzzing to get back.
Don't forget to put on there that we've got no passion.
No passion. No passion. No passion or money. That's it, isn't it? Yeah. No passion at all. We don't even care.
The wonders of Twitter.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But I think once again, out there, prove a point. I thought it was quite a strange game in the sense that it didn't seem particularly tough, really. It was just sort of, yeah, it was just... A lot of battling, which was great. Boys in the middle were fantastic again. Boys at the back were fantastic again. Keeper was fantastic. Striker was fantastic. What are you going to do? A few more games and that's it. Then we secure it.
So you're back in next week?
Yes, cannot
fantastic.
Wait. Yeah, it's been hard for the last few weeks, certainly. Like, you know, training and just keeping that mentality of working as hard as you can, but knowing that you can't do anything about it. It's done. I've served my time, and I cannot wait to be involved in one way or another back at home next weekend.
It's funny, I was thinking about you last night watching a documentary on, I think, one of the channels on TV, and it was a programme dedicated to Wales and their singers, and I thought of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. It's a proud passion of the Welsh people, is that, you know, I grew up in a school where the sort of male, there was a male voice choir as a part of the school, so yeah, it's very much so. And if anyone ever gets down to Wales for a rugby match, there's nothing quite like it as listening to those voices.
New signing, Aaron McLeish White.
Aaron McLeish White, originally from Ashford Town, is with me.
How you doing, man? Nice to meet you.
So how's your season going so far?
It's gone from strength to strength. Started at Ashford, scoring a few goals around the table, and then got the opportunity to come to Bracknell and challenge for the league. So right now I'm on the high.
Two goals a couple of weeks ago, that was a pretty impressive opener.
Yeah. I was happy with that debut. More importantly, the 3 points and the clean sheet. So it made my debut much easier, more relaxing for me.
Many thanks for your time. I'll see you next week.
Cheers, boss, man. Cheers. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Paul Stradley, Basingstoke keeper. Unlucky, but what do you reckon?
Well, it was one moment of quality, wasn't it, I think, that decided the game. Very tight. I don't think both sides really got in that second gear, really. It was quite flat. I don't know what it was like watching. But no, one moment of quality, so obviously we're disappointed. But, you know, you guys are top of the league for a reason, and, you know, that's why. And no, I think you deserve the result in the end.
Many thanks for your time, Paul, and good luck for the rest of the season.
No worries. All the best.
Cheers. Thanks, Paul. Michael Atkinson, back from injury.
Yeah, great to be back. First game. I've trained like three times and straight back into the starting lineup. Gaffer trusts me, so I was happy to play my part today.
No twinges or anything like that?
No. I feel a bit sore. Obviously, my first night in about probably 4 or 5 weeks now. But yeah, I was ready to come back in. So I think I've done a good job.
Magic. Long may it continue.
Yeah, long may it continue. This was an interesting one. It's my former club. I played quite a few games here.
I didn't realise you were actually ex-Basingstoke man.
Ex-Basingstoke, yeah. I played probably about 100 games for them. Not here, though. Instantly played the camera. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an interesting one. It was a good atmosphere, and it was great to pick up the 3 points.
Many thanks for your time. See you next week.
Yeah.
Cheers. Goal scorer, Seth Bauman. How are you feeling? I know how we feel.
Yeah, brilliant. Was always going to be a tough game against one of the top teams, and the lads execute the game plan brilliantly, and another 3 points. So, yeah, onwards and upwards.
Who have we got next week?
Great. Northwood, I think. I think Northwood, then Burnsy midweek.
Right.
And then we've got a bit of a break. So I think we need 3 wins now, and then it's done. So, but yeah, we'll keep pushing to win every game.
Been a lot of talk about passion and money. can you make any comment on that?
Can't make any comment about it. If only they knew. I can imagine this lot don't get nothing for playing either. So yeah, we're all very passionate as well.
You put the legwork in for many years without pay, so you know it goes with the territory when you improve and you get better.
100%. Yeah, well, you got to push up the league and budget's part of that. But you know, a lot of these players could be playing higher for a lot more money than they're on here. But everyone's part of the journey and looking forward to getting a promotion and winning a league, because not many times in your career you win a league. I mean, I'm 26. I've never won one, so this will be a first. Yeah.
26, you don't look a day over 21.
I know, baby face.
It's all that fitness training.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate to meet your mum today as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've now met the whole family, so long may it continue.
Thank you very much.
Many thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Bracknell Town Manager, Bobby Wilkinson.
Bobby Wilkinson, Bracknell Town Manager, another win.
Yeah, that's a big win today, isn't it, to come here and get 1-0. I hope you send this to the Basingstoke person that tweeted no passion. I see that tweet last night. Not many tweets get to me, but to say my team have got no passion was an absolute joke. And we came here today with loads of passion and goodbye bye Basingstoke. And I don't ever talk about other clubs, you know that, but when someone's lying and said we got no passion, what was it? Passion versus money. Like, you wouldn't even have a clue what you're on about. And it's the Basingstoke supporters club. So I hope he sees this or listens to this. And you can write whatever you want about me, okay, and my team, but don't lie. okay? If you'd seen us play all year, we beat you with passion at our place in the 90th minute, you know what I mean? Today, there was only one team with passion out there today, wasn't there, who wanted to win, and that was us. Game plan was fantastic. Didn't let them pass one ball out of the back, did we, today? We worked on it for about 2-3 hours on Monday night. Boys took it on board. I'm pumped up today. I'm passionate today, you know, because that one got to me a little bit. Not because of it's Basingstoke, because Basingstoke are a fantastic club, good people, but sometimes you just got a couple of keyboard warriors, and he's a keyboard warrior, whoever wrote that.
It's funny you should mention about the money thing, because we were trying to do the half-time review, and a couple of the fans came over and started to disrupt the commentary, making comments about you're considerably richer than we are. So very strange, really, but, you know.
Well, listen, it's not my fault that your last chairman haven't given you a ground and you've come here and you ain't got a bar. That's not my fault that we've got a bar at Sandhurst. It's not my fault, but if that's what you want to do, no problem. We just come here and beat you 1-0. Goodbye. No problems. Hopefully, if we don't win it, we'll meet in the playoffs. You know, so because we've nowhere near won it yet. We just wanted to come here today. And while everyone keeps lying about us, keep fueling me, keep fueling my team, and we'll just keep picking up wins. And to come here and keep a clean sheet, well, I thought a lot of their supporters today, very quiet, weren't they? Like, there was no passion out there from their supporters today, was there? But my supporters were really, really loud today. But guess what? My supporters were passionate, most probably had a bit of money in their pocket today as well. So, well done.
You're listening to the unofficial Robins podcast. Post-match analysis with James the Captain Birdseye and Steve the Gaffer Witty.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good from wherever you're listening from. I'm James the Captain Birdseye and I'm with Steve the Gaffer Witty. You are listening to the unofficial Robins podcast. And we were at Basingstoke Town this weekend. All kind of, yes, finally settled down after quite an interesting game. So, yes, first of all, a very, very good evening to you, Steve.
Yeah, good evening, James. How are you? You well?
Yes, I'm good. You know, very happy with the result. Yeah, beating Basingstoke 0-1. And, of course, you know, now where we are in the table, I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. Yeah, so I guess let's start with the game. Yeah, let's start at the start, I guess.
Yeah. First of all, I'm a bit disappointed that we don't have one of the Basingstoke supporters with us this evening. I was hoping that they'd sort of join us and sort of make this a bit of a, it's always nice to have a different view rather than just you talking about the game. So it would have been nice to get a little bit of, an opposition's opinion of the game. But, you know, maybe another game that we get to, maybe we can try and get one of the away supporters or something talking as well and giving their opinion so that it's not quite so one-sided.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We were trying to do that, but yeah, unfortunately, I don't think he's now available. Yeah, so it was we started out the blocks okay, I think, didn't we? It was for the first real half. There wasn't really much to write home about, I felt.
No, I was a bit surprised by Basingstoke's tactics, if I'm honest, James. You know, if we look at when they came to our place. If I'm honest, they should have got at least a point out of it. They deserved actually 3 points, if I was honest. You know, they played all the football. You know, they played the ball nicely out from the back, controlled it in midfield with Anton Rodgers sort of pulling the strings. And you know, with players like McCoy Palmer and Stephen Brown up top, you know, I almost expected him to play that game. And I think Bobby set up expecting that as well. You know, we had what sort of one up top, three in midfield, three in the centre of midfield with sort of with Scott Rees sort of playing a little bit higher. But strangely enough, they sort of played a little bit differently, Basingstoke, and played, I'm not saying a bit more long ball, a bit more direct, but I think as a result, they sort of, how would I put it? It was neutralised out. I'm surprised. I think Basingstoke, once again, they're a better side than that. I still make them my favourites in terms of winning the playoffs. I really do, but I just don't think they got their tactics right against us. I think they should have.
Yes, I was exactly. I was surprised. I thought that the pressure would have been there a little bit earlier. And also, you know, although, I mean, it was very packed in, wasn't it? I mean, we had, there was an attendance there of 802, which is, you know, incredible for Nun League. But I just, yeah, although we were very packed in, I was surprised. I thought there was going to be, from the start, very much pressing us. And we just didn't really seem to have that, as you say, very long balls that were being played to us, and as ever, our defence was incredibly good, really. The penalty, there was a call for a penalty, wasn't there?
Yeah, no, there was, absolutely. You know, they kept flinging the ball across and things, you know, and when you've got sort of, you know, giants like Dan Bayliss, what is he, 7'6" or something?
Yeah.
You know, players like that, you're not going to beat them in the air. But yeah, you're right. There was a call for the penalty in the first half, and I think it was really probably the only real incident of note in that first half. Max Herbert, he was clipped, but I think he probably made a little bit more of it of the clip than required, and I think that probably made the referee's decision up. I think on another day, it could have been awarded. I think others think it was a stonewall penalty, but I think it was one of them that could have gone 50-50 myself.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, you know, it didn't have any impact on the game in the end, as we know. It was strange. And I kind of felt, I mean, we'll talk about the atmosphere a little bit later, but that was, considering there were so many fans there, it was just a bit hemmed in, wasn't it? Very, very difficult to see what was going on at times.
Just, wasn't it, just? The other thing, of course, to mention in that first half was, of course, Jack Dean.
Yes.
And I think we all, when Jack Dean went down, I don't think Jack Dean does not go down. You know,
no,
so it must have been something quite serious. I'm not sure. Did you see much of the tackle? I'm not quite sure what happened.
No, I didn't see the tackle at all. And unfortunately, it was one of those sort of situations that there were just so many people sort of squeezed in that, I could only see different parts of the pitch at any one time, really. So, no, I didn't. But I did see him hobbling off and had his sock off. And he did look to be in quite a bit of pain. That is a concern.
Yeah. So fingers crossed for him. Fingers crossed for him. He's been a key part of our defence all season. What was quite nice was, of course, Caden come on in place of Phil back in at sort of left back there, and I've got to say, looked like he'd never been away. You know, great player. You know, if it's very difficult to change such a solid back four. And you know, I think Caden would get into pretty much any other side in this division.
I absolutely, and I think potentially, you know, the division above as well. Really, he's just got, yeah. It was class. It's like he's never been away, really, is it?
Yeah, no, exactly. And you have to comment. I think the only bit of danger that I really saw from Basingstoke, and it came down the flanks, and it was from I think it was their number 11, McCoy Palmer, who looked a little bit of a handful.
Yes, I noticed him. He did. He ran and ran. To be fair for them, he was really impressive.
Yeah, good player. So, look, and I think that was pretty much all to talk about in the first half. 0-0 at half time. Basingstoke clearly, you know, pushing for a playoff place with so many results going against them. The result was more important, I think, to them than it was us, in the nicest way. And I expected them to really come out fighting in the second half. But I don't really think they did. I think, if I'm honest, we shaded the first half without really dominating it, but the second half, I would say, we controlled it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think came out, and what I was really impressed with, I don't know if you felt this as well, Steve, was the calmness. You know, we're 0-0. It was half time. and they came out. There was no panic. There was no worry. It just was right. Okay, boom. Let's do what we normally do, and just an absolute sense of professionalism right the way across. And you know, it's interesting as well with dear Bobby Wilkes and our manager as well. You know, maybe because there were so many people there and I couldn't hear, but it wasn't the normal Bobby of being very loud. I think he's just growing in his incredible confidence he's always had, but even more so, just that he knows that those boys will do exactly what the plan is. They'll stick to that, and they will execute what they need to do incredibly professionally. And that's what I saw in the second half, without a doubt.
Yeah, and you could see the tactics we played. You know, in terms of it, we gave very little space to Basingstoke's midfield to really create anything. We didn't really allow them to play. And from our perspective, it was us that was holding most of the possession. Even before we went ahead, to be fair, we probably should have scored. I think it was around about the 55th minute, I think it was, where there was a ball swung in from the left. George Knight, unmarked, sort of, you know, clear header on goal, managed to put it over when I genuinely think it probably would have been easier for him to score. Yeah. So we could have been 1-0 up ahead of that before, of course, I'll call him the magic man, Seb Bowerman's moment of magic and class that ended up settling the game for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, just a very nice goal. Made it look easy as always. Yeah, it's pushed us right up. I mean, it's quite astounding, isn't it? I'm just looking here now in terms of where we now are in the league. I mean, it's getting mathematically to a very, very good place. Bracknell Town, 27 games played, 73 points. Chertsey Town, that's number two, 27 played, 55 points. Hamwell, 53 points. Uxbridge, 52. Bedfont Sports, 51. And then underneath the playoff zone, lower on goal differences, Basingstoke with 51 points. So, I mean, 55 points to 73. I mean, it's quite astounding, really.
Well, I think I read it somewhere. I think we need another 10 or 11 points to make the league safe. And I think if we get to, I think it's going to be the rearranged Tooting game on Monday the 21st. That could be when we mathematically win the league. Not saying, by the way, of course, you know, for it not to happen before there. Of course, other teams have got to carry on picking up results. I think Bobby's already said it. It's all about the next game. What we've got to do is just continue being professional, continue turning in performances like we did on Saturday, where in front of an 800 crowd, that's a massive crowd for this level, as you say. A well supported club Basingstoke are, you know. On one side of it, I feel quite sorry for them because, you know, they've had some big problems in terms of their previous owners, which made them sort of lose their own ground. They're playing in that sort of temporary ground, which is nice enough. Nice enough. Shame the bar facilities and things aren't there. And I genuinely think, you know, they've got a majority of diehard fans who go there. Unfortunately, though, our experience of being with them, you know, or my experience of being with them is there's one or two that sort of spoil it. You know, it was... Now, I think it was 10 years ago was the last time, or more than 10 years ago was the last time I went to them. And if I remember correctly, they stole our flag. A lot of their kids stole our flag. At our place, of course, there was a bit of an issue where they started kicking in the hoardings. And then, of course, yesterday, we got a little bit of grief trying to do a podcast, didn't we?
I'm going to say what it was. It wasn't grief. You know, grief is what we're used to. You know, good banter, we're used to. Very loud vocal fans, both sides, we're used to. And that is not just we're used to, that as non-league, and again, underline non-league, football fans, that's part of the fun, that's part of the banter, you know, that's enjoyable. But when the game's finished, or half time or whatever, fun, banter with each people, whatever. This was absolutely directed abuse, and there's no question about it. It was verbal abuse, and it was absolutely disgraceful. And it was, again, in front of children. And this is the reason why a lot of the time people don't want to bring their children to football. And I'll share this with you now. When I started going to football and I thought, oh, I'll bring the kids, you know, my parents, their grandparents, were quite concerned. You know, are you sure, you know, all the language and such like. Now, you know, we're not silly, are we? We know there's going to be a bit of light effing and jeffing potentially here and there, but that's very different from, you know, directed abuse at people. It was real shame. And I mean, as I say, we've got it all on all on sound. So it was very upsetting, actually.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I'll take it as a minority of fans. You know, genuinely, with a club that's gone through what it has in terms of Basingstoke, with that level of support, you know, I hope they find the good times again. I still think if they, with that squad, if they play their football, I genuinely think they've got a really strong chance still of promotion coming through the playoffs. I really do. But once again, you know, I would hope within that as well, they would maybe look at the individuals that are sort of souring that name of the club and sort of just have a little quiet word in their shell likes. Mm.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, indeed. Well, we are going to be back, aren't we? So the next game, we're going to be at home on, it's Bracknell versus Northwood. In the Isthmian South Central League, at home at Bottom Meadows. So that's going to be at 3 o'clock. If you are interested in coming, it'd be great to see you. It really would. You can get tickets on the Bracknell Town FC website. Very easy to do, and it even sends it to your phone. So you get a QR code, and you can waft that at the gate, and then it lets you in. It's all very James Bond-esque, you know. Very good indeed. So we're going to be there, and as I say, we'd love to see you. Do get in touch. Absolutely love that when you can. robinspodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter @robinspodcast. Very, very easy to do. And until next weekend, it's ta-ta from him.
Night night.
And ta-ta from me. Bye bye.
The Bracknell Town Podcast. For fans, by fans. Come on the Robins.
We all follow the Robins wherever they may go. We all follow the Robins away and I go.
Absolutely disgraceful!